All right, so my first question to all of us is why are we here? Because it's National Napping Day, which is my third favorite holiday right after Christmas and the 4th of July. Granted, I did not know it existed until about an hour ago.
We should just go home.
We should go home. Yeah. I'm really excited about it. I'm already drinking tequila. Going to take a nap as soon as this is over. Maybe Uber home. We'll see what happens. I don't know. But excited to have our good friend, political commentator and host of Always Right on OpsLens TV, Aaron Adair, with us. Aaron, good to see you.
Well, good to see you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It's good to have you here. The couch looks a little nicer than it usually does. I like you, Mike, and your hipster haircut but
it's my hipster doofus haircut.
Yeah.
As Ellen says on Seinfeld. Right? Not Ellen.
Elaine.
Hence,
thinking of two different shows there. Yeah. Ellen and...
Both great shows. Yeah. Love you, Ellen. You're great. I would love some free stuff myself. But no, both great shows.
Hipster doofus.
Yeah, hipster doofus. I wasn't going to call you a doofus, but you've done it. We're good friends, so we can do that to each other. But how are you, Mike? You're good?
We good, yeah.
Yeah, good.
Nothing crazy.
Disco?
Oh, doing good. Just started a cleanse and had to watch you guys eat pizza today, so it was fantastic.
Started a cleanse.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Sometimes life just sucks. Yeah. Sometimes you don't get to eat pizza. All right.
Think or cupcakes. In Venezuela. Or cupcakes.
You could be eating out of the garbage.
I could be, but I'm not because I'm here in America.
That's true. Freaking A.
America's number one.
Yeah. America is number one. So before we get into the rest of kind of what I was going to do here today, this poll came across right before we started the show. So I wanted to address it. We've got a millennial / Gen Z. You're like right on the line.
97.
So this
97.
That's the birth year.
Okay. In between.
One of the smarter ones you're going to meet at that age bracket, folks. Okay. She's not the traditional. She definitely didn't vote in this poll that we're about to go through. But percent of millennials and Gen Z agreeing with the following statements. The first one, the government should provide universal health care. The result, 73.2%. Anyone surprised by this?
Zero.
No. I'm not surprised. Yeah. And it's very sad for me being the same age as these people and knowing these people. You know, being in classes with them, they're living in a different world than I am, I guess.
Yeah, well, they clearly are. This next one kind of falls in the same line there. Government should provide tuition-free college. 67.1% agreed with that statement. I'm not personally surprised with this one either. This is what they loved with they were feeling the burn in 2016 because, you know, who doesn't love free shit? Even though it doesn't make sense and actually work that way. Do a lot of the folks that you go to school with have that same mentality, like this should be free?
I'm very thankful that I'm at a college where I haven't seen any protests. People don't really act that way, but I see it a lot, you know, on social media with people my age and online, their commentary on stuff. And I mean, I get it. I'm not looking forward to paying off loans, but I also understand that money has to come from somewhere, you know. It's not really free college.
Yeah.
Someone's paying for it, and nobody should have to pay for my education because it's my education.
Absolutely. Common sense from Aaron Adair right here. Love it. So do we, I'm not going to go there. I was going to go down a different rabbit hole. We're going to save that. So let's move on to this next point. Prefer living. This is the one that's damning. The number is lower, but the result is awful. So prefer living in a socialist country. 49.6% of millennials and Gen Z agreed with that statement. That's terrifying because that is literally, we talk about it on the show all the time. You know, Aaron just mentioned here how, hey, you know, people don't understand the whole concept of there's nothing, no such thing as a free lunch. They also don't understand that if we go down this path of socialism, it will single-handedly trigger the beginning of the end for America. That's how I see it. Within government, you never add on, we know this from working in government for a really long time, you never peel back layers. You just keep adding stuff on. And if we go down this path, I really do think it's the beginning. It could be the beginning of an internal, you know, conflict or civil war. It could be just the beginning of the end of everything. But it's a bad beginning. That much I know.
And that's what we were talking about before the show, and that came out by Axios. By 2020, 37% of the electoral of the populace that are elect are thinking 49.whatever percent. One is socialism.
49.6.
That's so terrifying.
That's got to sink in, people. Has to sink in. Like, this is actually happening. This is what actually believe the Ocasios, the Tlaib, the Omars.
Yeah.
That's happening.
Yeah. It's funny. These people, they say they want to live in a socialist country and want America to be socialist, but they won't leave America to go live in Venezuela or other places like that, you know, for a reason. Why aren't you going there? Is it because everybody's starving?
Yeah, exactly.
Had electricity for 5 days.
Yeah.
Looting.
Well, we've said it. Like, we should start a reality show where we send people to Venezuela or politicians to Venezuela who want socialism. And see if they can survive, you know, like on Survivor.
I would love this. We get AOC, we put her on like a C9 or something, okay? We drop down the back door.
Bernie.
You know, and we've got her in a parachute. We'll give her a parachute, but we're going to kick her out and literally, I mean, like boot to ass, kick her out of the plane. If she can figure out how to deploy the chute, okay? If she can figure that out, she lands in Venezuela, and then we have a camera crew waiting for her, and we follow her around for a little bit. We win every award, and we actually probably win no awards because the people who
Hollywood.
It's all politics.
But it's all politics, but we make the most entertaining television ever. AOC, the invitation is open. Would love to do it. Free plane ride. I imagine she'd be really fascinated with planes. Like, this is going to go in the air.
She can't ride planes. She doesn't like planes. Remember?
Yeah, she wants to get rid of them.
Even though she uses them.
That's true.
It's a blimp.
It's funny. Blimp. Well, so speeding through the rest of these, 43% supported abolishing ICE. 67.1% supported the statement, higher earnings result of free enterprise. And then also government should allow private insurance, 78.9%. But you brought up this point earlier, Mike, the top three priorities for them voting moving forward were addressing mass shootings, racial equality, and immigration and our treatment of immigrants, namely illegal immigrants. Pretty damning stuff.
Pretty damning.
Not good. Mm-hmm. Getting rid of this. And we're going to move on. So we've got some other fun stuff to get to, though, before we get to the real headlines. So there's a few things I want to touch on. First thing is this satire story that I saw in Babylon Bee over the weekend, which was totally awesome. And folks, Babylon Bee, and we get this sent to us a lot. Like, so Babylon, this is public service announcement for all of you.
Good idea. Okay?
Babylon Bee and Duffel Blog, several others like it, they're satire. That means not real, okay? So not an actual story. We get emails with like OMGs and all kinds of emoticons and links from them like, oh my gosh, this is the most amazing story. You should do this on the show. Like, girl, that's fake. Like, it's not real. But so in this article, Ilhan Omar, and we know going into this article that these young socialists want to save the planet at all costs and have, you know, called it our next world war. We also know that Ilhan really hates Jews. So there you go. The headline reads this: Ilhan Omar withdraws support from bill to save the earth after learning that's where Israel is. So I see that. I'm like, this has got to be good. So I read through it. I'm going to read a little bit too. And hat tip to Babylon Bee for the whole article here. But the article, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's Green New Deal hit a snag when it lost the support of another freshman representative, Ilhan Omar. Omar had been an enthusiastic supporter of the Green New Deal and wanted to save the earth, but when she noticed something very disturbing when looking at a map of the earth, and that is that earth is a planet on which Israel resides. So she came out and said, you've been hypnotized by the Jews. She accused a surprised Ocasio-Cortez. Omar then ripped up a copy of the Green New Deal. This is just a plot to help Israel keep existing. Did AIPAC pay you off? Ocasio-Cortez was very apologetic, saying she hadn't considered how her plan would affect Israel. She then vowed to change her plan so it might save the whole planet except where Israel resides. She was like, this is like a learning process, she later told reporters. When I made the Green New Deal, I thought weather, like storms and earthquakes, were all caused by climate change. But now I've learned from Representative Omar that lots of that is actually from Jewish-controlled weather machines. So for the next version of the Green Deal, we'll have to keep that in mind. I thought it was amazing.
Love the Babylon Bee.
Love it.
That's funny.
That's a good story. Like, and it's so their kind of logic, like, oh.
Yeah.
We're saving the earth, but Israel's here? Like,
it's almost believable.
It is.
You can't tell what's fake and what's actually a serious story these days.
You could see how that would confuse people.
Weather, like, you know, weather. Yeah,
like. Lots of likes and ums. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not done with you, AOC. We're going to get to you in around the headlines. Trust me, girl. But we also all know about flops. Like in soccer, you've got punters in football. Basically, where someone fakes getting hit, fouled, etc. Well, this dude at Liberty University, which is an awesome school, by the way, really oversold one in a game against Lipscomb. And I just thought we had to show it. This is the perfect example, by the way. I think it's an illustration of outrage over climate change, Trump, and so many other things. Let's play that again.
Oh, it's on a loop here. Don't worry.
That's that invisible right.
Yep. This is why I believe that in basketball there should be a flopping like rule, like just how it is in like hockey or whatever. If you flop, you fake a foul, you're the other person gets shots, or whatever. Because in hockey, you flop, it doesn't matter. It's penalty box. Yeah. Sorry. Done.
Well, I mean, bro got taken out by like a sniper there. Like that's what it looked like. I'm getting up and boom, 50 cal to the face.
It reminds me of like an Aussie man. Like, oh!
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Right to the jaw. He could have gotten more hurt doing the flop than actually getting punched in the face.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well done.
So something else I thought we could look at, this kind of headlines in a way, are some Trump tweets. We haven't done this in a while. I want to preface this because typically we try and grab like the funny ones, but Trump, you know, as usual, also makes some great points in his tweets. There aren't really that many funny ones today, but we're going to do it anyways. We call this next segment Trump Tweets. All right, so I think we've got like six, something like that. So we'll speed through them. But again, these are kind of like headlines. This is the President of the United States, you know, just kind of sharing his mind with the world. Let's bring up the first one here, Disco. This is kind of a two-parter.
Yeah.
More people are working today in the United States, 158 million, big number. Don't give that to AOC. That will break her head. Than any time in our country's history, that's a big deal. That is a big deal. That is a very big deal. And he's got this beautiful graph that he puts up next, I believe, right?
Yeah, sorry, just pulling it up. Yeah, someone put it in it as a comment. Like,
okay.
And so they put this in here just to show.
That's who doesn't love pictures?
Yeah,
colors. I love pictures.
Makes life easier.
But it does make life easier. But these are the types of points that you know continue to get lost. Everyone gets so focused on immigration and how Trump's evil and we're all evil for supporting him. But the fact remains, and I think he gets to it in another one of his tweets here, and maybe this actually next one here, but there's a lot of good stuff going on. I mean, where we are in terms of our economy, in terms of jobs, in terms of where we are with our natural resources, in terms of even the immigration stuff, if people would look at it in a factual basis, not emotional basis, things are pretty damn good around here.
Yeah, not to leftists, though. They'll see this stuff, and, you know, a lot of them are stupid, but not all of them. They know that this is good stuff, but just because it's Trump, you know, they're not going to acknowledge it. They're not going to praise him.
Right.
Just because it's Trump.
Right.
Well,
period.
Just like how in the State of the Union, he was like, oh, we've got, you know, I think it was like 300,000 people this month off of food stamps. No one on the left was clapping because that's their voting. That, you know, that's the people that they get their votes from.
Yeah,
so.
There's nothing good about that, right? I mean, who wants people working and off of food stamps? So let's bring up this next one here. Despite the most hostile and corrupt media in the history of American politics, the Trump administration has accomplished more in its first 2 years than any other administration. Judges, biggest taxes and regulation cuts, VA choice, best economy, lowest unemployment, and much more. I love how he ends that, kind of like a TV commercial. But wait!
Much more.
There's more. But again, same point as the first, really. Not a whole lot to hit here, other than things are not that bad, people. I mean, we say it all the time. We talk about what holiday it is. Today it's National Napping Day, which is brilliant. We had Women's Day last Friday. We've had National Brad Day. Like, there's all kinds of crazy stuff. When we can celebrate, Tom Cunningham gets credit for this because he brings it up. Mm-hmm. If we have time to make up all these random-ass holidays and celebrate them, and everyone's still working and doing pretty good, obviously there's some people struggling. We get that, and we're rooting for you, and hopefully things turn. But, like, generally speaking, things are pretty darn good here.
Yeah, if you can go back and forth and just yell at each other all day long with actually not worrying about a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Why can't you? Good on Tom Cunningham. Absolutely.
Tommy Cunningham, we love you.
Breaking
You're
him down.
Adorable. You wear lots of jewelry, but we still love you. That's okay. Okay, the next one. So Ann Coulter, obviously a well-known, you know, conservative commentator, author, etc. He goes after her here in this next tweet. Wacky nutjob at Ann Coulter, who still hasn't figured out that despite all odds and an entire Democrat Party or far-left radicals against me, not to mention certain Republicans who are sadly unwilling to fight, I'm winning on the border. Major sections of the wall are being built. She's, of course, come out and criticized his efforts to do that, joining in kind of the chorus of some, you know, midliners in the Republican Party as well as all those on the left side of the aisle. But, you know, I love that he's calling her out. Again, no humorous tweets today, really. This one a little bit because he's going after her, calling a nut job. But you'd think that people would learn at this point in time, you don't attack this guy, especially on social media. Like, he is going to, like, savagely tear you a new one if you go after him there. And you're playing right into his trap. Like, I guarantee he's just like this when he wakes up in the morning. Like, he doesn't brush his teeth first. He's like, bring it on. Yep. Like, I got this.
He just does it. He doesn't care.
He doesn't care, no.
That's the whole part of it. You're not going to win against someone who doesn't care, but he's actually doing what he should be doing for the people of America. Mm-hmm. But he just doesn't care who likes him or doesn't like him.
Yep. Nope. I'm going to say something, and then you just respond, Ultimately, I don't care what you do, though. I love it.
Just kind of like this next tweet here.
Yeah. This next one, just simple. Two words. Presidential harassment.
No, it's yelling. Presidential harassment.
Sorry,
it's all caps.
Sorry. Well, we got to have someone who does it in the right voice, yeah, too. Yeah. I'm not a good Trump impressionist. I'm just not.
Neither am I.
Yep. Yeah. But
Schiff is still yelling at, the Mueller report. They're supposed to be coming out by this week. They say it last week. They said it 2 weeks before.
It never ends.
It never ends. And now Adam Schiff is going, Mueller needs to talk to the president. He's not running the show. Did Mueller say, hey, Schiff, I need you to talk to the president and the media? I need Trump to get in here? No. He's going to reach out. He needs to talk to him. It's just like, stop in this whole mess. If Mueller wants you, he's going to talk to you.
Yeah. So. Yeah. They're just trying, and it's such a waste of time.
Indeed it is. And to his point in this next one, you got your political theater going on over here, everyone dragging stuff on, making it something that it's not. Meanwhile, stuff's actually getting done. This last tweet, wall's being built and is well under construction. Big impact will be made. Many additional contracts are close to being signed, far ahead of schedule, despite all the Democrat obstruction and fake news. So, again, he's just trying to highlight good stuff is happening here. And I say this all because even though it's not funny today, it's a perfect picture of things are going well. And despite the hell that, no one has caught the flack and hellfire that this guy has, in recent history, if not all of history. Granted, folks, way back, social there wasn't media, social right? media. But mm-hmm. but in this day and age, and all things considered, he takes more heat than anyone. And he stays on point, and he sticks to who he is, and he mm-hmm. remains, principled. I'm not comparing the two, but I think back to, when everything was kicking off after 9/11 and everything, the man of principle that George W. Bush was. There was people who loved him, people who didn't like him, people who agreed with the invasion, people who didn't. But at the end of the day, that's what his gut told him to do. That's what his gut and his advisors told him to do. And, damn the torpedoes. He's like, I'm doing it. This is what we're doing. And you can ridicule me all you want. You can say all the negative crap about me you want. But this is what I think is best for America. And I'm going to do it. And he did. And look, you can still argue about it today. But at the end of the day, you got to respect a man of principle.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's why you elect these people in the office.
Yes.
That's why you saw that. Because people were tired of the showboating, the games, the mm-hmm. facades of these people. He came out, told like what it is.
Well, people don't like to elect someone who's making promises and then they get there and break those promises, or they're a different person than you expected. Trump has stuck to everything that he's promised.
So. Yeah. Well, and I think if he keeps on that path, he's definitely setting himself up. Well, they were talking too, by the way, in the news this morning about just the size of the campaign that they're tracking towards for 2020, which is, just a behemoth campaign, and it's supposed to be way bigger than his previous one. So, he had grassroots, going. He put money in, but he had grassroots, and he had just this movement that got behind him last time around. I think that, as they ramp up for that, it's only going to be the same thing, if not bigger. But for now, let's skip past that and take a trip across the headlines.
Yeah, let's do it.
So Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez slammed political moderates at the South by Southwest conference in Austin, Texas, calling their views misplaced as she defended her progressive politics in a room full of supporters. She said this: moderate is not a stance. It's just an attitude towards the life of meh. Which is interesting. Not the last time we're going to hear meh. She continues on, says, we've become so cynical that we view meh or eh. We view cynicism as intellectually superior attitude, and we view our ambition as youthful naivety, when the greatest things we have ever accomplished as a society have been ambitious acts of visions, and the meh is just worshipped now for what? So she goes off on this diatribe, which frankly kind of loses me a couple points.
I don't even know what the hell she's talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know that she, obviously she doesn't know, but you throw that many mehs in there, it's just an interesting sentence structure. But so anyways, mm-hmm. the self-declared democratic socialist also criticized the treatment of minorities throughout American history, from Franklin Delano Roosevelt's New Deal, which she claimed was racist, to Ronald Reagan's policies, which she said pitted white working class people against minorities in order to screw over all working class Americans, particularly African Americans and Hispanics. A reckless and bold statement that is completely and unequivocally untrue. But again, what we always hearken on here, and this, what scares the living crap out of me, is that you're at South by Southwest, which is a brilliant move by her. I'll give you kudos. You're going and hitting the right audience. You're hitting the one liberal city in Texas, in Austin, and all these youth that are there, and you're just spewing these lying talking points that sound cool and like, we've been wronged and this, that, and the other throughout history, and now we're going to fix it. No, we haven't. Like, we got here because everything done before was not perfect, but we've done a lot of things right to get us to this point. And now you're coming and just making shit up, and people are going to buy it hook, line, and sinker, and that is going to ultimately screw us as a country. And that's what's terrifying to me.
Yeah, right. She's just making these statements with, I mean, where are these coming from? What does she have to back herself up when she's saying these things? I mean, if you can even sift through the nonsense to understand what it means, it's just, it's incorrect. Where is this coming from? She's not providing that to any of these people, so they just buy into it without questioning anything that she says.
Yeah.
Because
you can say
cool.
Right. You can say race and cover up whatever you want and win any political argument that you want. She just did there.
Yeah.
You know, and you read the article earlier that from Axios. What are the top three things for Gen Y or Gen Z and Gen X? You know, what was it? Race was a big factor of it. So everyone's been wronged. You know who did it. Now this is Reagan racist, FDR racist. I mean, everyone's racist. They all had an issue. Mm-hmm. Well, just like we talked about last week, what's the solution?
Yeah.
You know, if you think this is racist, give me something. You think we're being racist, give me something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but just don't throw that word out there because I think we're going to touch on, well, I'll wait for that one because of Omar. That just riled me up this weekend about what she did.
Yeah.
But it's the whole thing. You throw race card out, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And talking about presidents that are dead now, what can you do about it? These people aren't alive. Why are we talking about it, making it an issue when these people are not alive anymore?
Right.
It used to be a music conference, not a conference, but just a music event in South by Southwest. Now it's all political.
Yeah, stuff. You had Elizabeth Warren there. You had all, you know, Beto was there. You had, everyone was there. Like, it's
before, it just used to be good tunes.
Yeah.
And now it's just this bastion of political far left of everything. It's just stop it.
Well, yeah, I mean, good on them for them being there. Obviously, someone in their faculty said, hey, you got to go to this, because they could have said anything. They could have said, like, ice cream is, you know, horrible and it's from the Republicans. And everyone were like, okay, because it's the right audience. They were teed up. It's like Trump going to CPAC, you know, like everyone's wanting to hear what he's going to say and they're going to love it. And it's great. And it's good that he was there. But they were just teed up, ready for anything. So she could say anything, and they'd be fine with it.
Yeah.
You know,
so. Well, and to be clear, you don't go after ice cream.
You don't. You,
that's a line you just don't cross. Don't touch a man's French fries, and don't go after ice cream.
Meh.
That's...
Meh.
I like that. I see what you did there. I see what you did there. So let's keep talking AOC, though, because, you know, she and others scuttled 25,000 jobs for New Yorkers and billions in revenue for the city when they forced Amazon out. Then still... At South by Southwest, she gave us some other nuggets. She said that people should be excited by the prospect of robots taking their jobs because it will afford them more time to pursue their creative passions. Isn't that just brilliant? I mean, can't make this stuff up. Specifically, she said this in the quote, we should not be haunted by the specter of being automated out of work. So, hey, don't worry about the robots. You know, forget them killing you, this, that, and the other. This is a good thing. They're going to take your job, and you can go do basket weaving now. Like, you can learn to sail. You can do all sorts of stuff. I love the gall. I mean, it just shows how broken her mind is. We had someone on the show who was a very nice gal. I'm not going to say her name. Very, very sweet, and it was fun to talk to her. Although what she was saying was terrifying because it was basically this. Hey, we don't want to work hard. This generation doesn't want to work hard, and we're sick of other generations being mad at us for not wanting to work hard. It was like, but do you hear what you're saying? Like, like, that's fine. You don't have to want to work hard. But if you want money, you have to work to get money. Unless you're a trust fund baby. And then, you know what? Good on you. Go get a yacht. Lay out every day.
At that point, you won the gene pool.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Or you follow Ocasio-Cortez.
Yeah.
You're getting your money for you. You're not doing anything.
Bind to her promises and everything will be fine. You'll never have to work again.
It'll be
robots
utopia.
Will take over this.
Utopia.
But that's just the disconnect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The robots will set you free.
Yes.
Well, they'll set you free, but you're not gonna have a job.
Right.
That's the whole point.
It's not about wanting to work. It's about you need to work if you want money, if you want to survive, if you want to feed your kids. That's how our society is set up.
Right.
We're not a bunch of hippies just living, you know.
Yet.
Free doing what yet.
Here we come.
That's what they want, though.
Yeah, totally. Well, she continued on here.
Patchouli and weed.
She continued on, quote, we should not feel nervous about the toll booth collector having to collect tolls. We should be excited by that. Not having to collect tolls. We should be excited about that. But the reason we're not excited about it is because we live in a society where if you don't have a job, you are left to die. Well, that's, I mean,
what?
Like, Let me read it again. I'll read the quote again. So she said, we shouldn't feel nervous about the toll booth collector not having to collect tolls, which I said wrong the first time, and I apologize. We should be excited by that. But the reason we're not excited about it is because we live in a society where if you don't have a job, you are left to die. Basically, just saying that people who don't work are put in their own category, which they are, because you need to get a job and work. Like Aaron said earlier, like, this is how we're set up. This is how our economy and our life works. And everyone who comes, most people who come here, by the way, you've got a lot of immigrants who come the right way, and they come work their ass off, some of them 2-3 jobs, to take care of their families. That's what you do. And you say you shouldn't be scared of a robot taking that job. Most people aren't in the 1%. Most people can't sustain themselves for months on end when they do lose their job. So you take a blue-collar worker who just has been put out of the job because McDonald's decided to put, you know, those touchscreens up, which, by the way, are covered in fecal material.
Yeah, you don't want
yeah,
such
I don't like
said.
Those.
I don't either. Like, I hate this new thing. But you take them out of that job, and they're really in trouble. That means a lot to them. I think most people will disagree with this statement, but I think it's hilarious and brash that she can go out and say it and think that it's going to be well received by the masses.
See, I'm not surprised, because this is coming from the woman who needs to have a uniform for her loungewear.
That's true. She has a lounge uniform at night.
The lounge uniform. So
you got to take it off. Did you see that story?
Doesn't surprise
me. I don't think I did, but I'm not surprised.
She talked about how you wear a uniform to work, and then you come home and you take your uniform off and you put a different uniform on, a lounge uniform, to signal to your brain that now you're doing something different. The rest of us just call it changing clothes.
Yeah.
But she calls it something different.
She's trying to be deep, and it's not.
And it backfired. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was one of her cooking videos, you know, cooking with AOC. So after all the stupid stuff that Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib have said, we've had to see this coming. Like, this is something we've kind of talked about in the show. But now they're playing the victim card, something the left loves to do. And get ready for this. They're saying that the calls to have Omar removed from the House Foreign Affairs Committee are grounded in Islamophobia. So now, just like you said earlier, Mike, and we've got a tweet, right? Do we have Rashida's tweet?
Yes.
So, you know, this whole thing is set up, and I'll read the tweet here. This is in response to this other dude, but hard to watch Rep. Scalise, Steve Scalise, demand that Rep. Ilhan Omar be removed from the House Foreign Affairs without wondering if it's steeped in Islamophobia. I love that she used the word steep there. Ilhan is more than capable of sitting on the committees and making decisions that are in the best interest of her constituents and all Americans. So they're going to get a pass here. We saw this come. We saw the bill that, you know, the resolution that got passed in Congress get way diluted down. It was actually more focused on white supremacy than anything Ilhan Omar had said that was considered to be anti-Semitic. Now they're playing the victim card, and now all of us are once again the bad guys, sitting perfectly in the script that they have for us. You guys are awful. We're okay. And she can get away with anything. And I think it's just hilarious to me that they continue to do this and pull it off.
I was thinking, just like I said earlier about the race card, why I get so angry about this. I hope Scalise will come out here. Both, you're calling me Islamophobic. You know, he needs to be out there screaming at them at this point in time going, do you know how you just change this? And the American people better be a lot smarter than this. But that's the whole thing. They pull the race card. You're a bigot. You're this. The conversation gets squashed.
Yeah.
Look at Ralph Northam in Virginia.
Yeah.
You haven't heard about that in a while, have you?
No.
So
you sure haven't.
All of a sudden, they squash anything to do with race.
Yeah.
We pulled
it.
We won it. You're out of here. Clean hands, tight.
Yeah.
And then everybody else is screwed. They're like sitting here going, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anytime you criticize somebody like that, you know, rather than look at themselves and reflect, well, why is it that this person has these issues with me? They just are so quick to pull one of those cards, make it about race or religion or sexuality, and just they don't want to accept or acknowledge that there's a bigger picture.
Well, and it literally makes it impossible to argue with them and reason with them, because as soon as they do that, you know that they're so far to one side or the other that there is no, so it's like, I just move on. It's like, okay, you know what? We're beyond agreeing to disagree. Like, we're just, like, so far away from each other that there's almost no point in having this conversation, which is sad, because we should just be having normal conversations with people where you can disagree. It's okay to disagree. But as soon as I disagree with you, you shouldn't say that I hate transgenders or, you know,
you're
folks.
You're Islamophobic.
Yeah, like,
attacking the person instead of their ideas.
You just labeled Scalise and all those crazies behind everybody else now think Scalise is Islamophobic, he's a racist, this and that. Dude was shot.
Yeah.
You're right? Because of someone's crazy ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you're like, okay, he's back here to govern again, and now you just called him a racist for coming back to do the thing he was initially done before he got shot.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't label them, but they're allowed to label you all day long, and it's fine.
Yeah. That's par for the course. Welcome to New America, folks. So we spoke a little bit of Omar there, of course, Rashida coming out and defending her and going after Scalise and everyone else. But speaking of Omar, Speaker Nancy Pelosi defended Ilhan Omar on Friday, arguing the freshman Democrat was unaware of her anti-Semitic meaning behind her words. She said, quote, "I don't think our colleague is anti-Semitic. I think that she just has a different experience in the use of words, doesn't understand that some of them are fraught with meaning that she didn't realize." So is that supposed to make us feel better? Like, that to me is like, this is basically who she's saying that Ilhan Omar is in that statement to me.
"But this head movie makes my eyes rain."
Oh, you're going to get some mail for that one, Drew.
Simple Jack. So you're basically just saying, look, she's special. She's not very smart. She doesn't understand what she's saying. That's what she said in that quote. Like, that shouldn't make us feel better. She's an elected representative on the House Foreign Affairs Committee in the United States Congress.
Like, she doesn't know.
Like, you can't say, like, "I hate Jews," and then be like, but I didn't know that that was wrong and mean. Like,
and having your mother, having your mother stand up for you and go, "No, that's not really what she meant." She doesn't understand.
Yeah.
It's a different language.
She's
learning.
Stupid. She's,
that's what I saw it as. Just, she's too dumb to understand.
Yes.
And I'm just waiting for Ilhan to go, "Nancy, seriously?
Yeah.
You know, I called out the Jews, and now you're calling me an idiot."
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know what to do. Like, I'm looking at property in Costa Rica. I'm probably leaving soon. I don't know why. I've got friends who live there.
Okay,
maybe we can reunite. So I wanted to mention this too. This is kind of off topic. The last two are a little different than all those. We'll move on from those folks for now. But Roseanne Barr has said some interesting things over her career, right? Like, she just has. She lost her show over some tweets. But she came out and defended the president and also hit on the hashtag MeToo folks as well. She said this of President Trump, quote, "He's a genius and a deep thinker who shouldn't be judged on the basis of his tweets," which I agree. I think that there's points where there's some that maybe would have dialed that one back. But generally speaking, I think she's right. But then she said this. This is where I think it gets interesting and shows who Roseanne really is. Speaking about her career in the hashtag MeToo movement, she said, "If you're not effable," she spelled it out and said it, "I'm not going to. It's no good. I'm one of the few women who made it on talent in Hollywood. I tried to sleep my way to the top, but there were no takers." Love that. Love that she takes a dig at herself.
There you go.
And then she said, asked how she feels about women who now claim to have been abused decades previously, but said nothing at the time. She replied, quote, "That's because they're hoes. If you didn't say no, just stayed there to get along, you're a hoe. Men are hoes too. There is a total hoe mentality. What am I going to get for trading sexual favors? Not that I've got anything against hoes, not real hoes." So there you have it. Like, that's inside the mind of Roseanne Barr, which I think is just priceless and amazing. And I'm glad that she said it, even though I wouldn't say it.
She put it very, very bluntly.
Very bluntly. I could see that being like, so I think we should get a hoe mentality t-shirt for one disco. So if you could get on that. And then I think we turn that into like a Hallmark card of some sort, like, to my favorite hoe.
Yeah.
Yeah. She made it on her talents alone. That's what she said.
She did. Well, and look, I'm not going to say it.
Well, I was going to say, based off of what she said there, was her tweet, her Ambien tweet, really an Ambien tweet? Or was that just her being her?
Look, at the end of the day, we all say things with Ambien and other narcotics and alcohol in our system.
Yeah.
Usually it's what we actually think and mean and feel.
Yeah,
right?
But I'm saying, do you?
Honest.
Yeah, but do you think her manager, her lawyer said, "Oh, you gotta put it down as Ambien because you're gonna get cat," But hey, she still got fired for what she said, regardless, drug induced or not.
I think it's just who Rose. You look back to her singing the national anthem and then grabbing her crotch, just who Roseanne is. Lover, hater, whatever. This is what you're getting. She's gonna come out. This is like a boats and hoes moment. She's gonna say, "Y'all are hoes, men too." And then that's just who she is. That she's gonna get away with it. Some people are gonna hate her for it. Some people are gonna love her. She's not gonna get another show on ABC or any of the big networks. Mm-hmm. But she's okay with that, right? I think so. Finally, this is some good news, shows that we actually have some hope. We talked about, when I went to that event at my daughter's school, and everyone was singing patriotic songs and talking about America, you know, F yeah, this kind of stuff. They didn't say that. I did.
America.
But it showed some hope. Like, okay, a couple kids are being taught the right thing. So this is good news, too, though. The state houses in Georgia and Tennessee have passed measures that would ban most abortions once fetal heartbeat can be detected, which typically occurs 6 or 7 weeks into pregnancy. In Atlanta, Georgia, the legislation passed Thursday night, 93-73, but not without a significant debate and some tension in the room. Some Democrats, in their typical pouting fashion, made a point of walking out before the bill was even introduced. Bottom line, though, to me, it's good that it passed, and this is a good and it's the right thing to do here. Like, not everyone, you know, is going to agree with it, but this is the right thing to do, right? And this is your state.
Yeah, I'm very happy. I've been very happy since Kemp was elected. That was a huge, huge relief for me. And I met him, and he was very nice. But, yeah, I can't understand how anyone can not see abortion for what it is. It's just a horrible thing, whether you think people should be allowed to do that or not. To me, it's just objectively a sick, horrible thing. And I'm very glad that they passed that. And I don't mind that all those people walked out. There's just less problems to deal with. Let them walk out.
Yeah, for sure.
Here's my issue with the people walking out. These are elected officials, correct?
Yeah. That's true, though.
And no, I agree with you. But the fact that they walked out instead of governed,
rather than doing their job.
That's the issue that I have a problem with. That's the dangerous side of it. I don't like the vote because it's going to be controversial. I'm going to walk out and I'm not going to govern.
Yeah.
We're going down the wrong path.
Yeah.
And we see it happen all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, people vote nay on this or abstain from this.
Right.
No, you're elected. You should vote. So we know exactly what you feel and see.
Well, and then you see those officials, too, who, like, I can't think of a good example right now, so this point sucks. But you see those people who have, like, the voting record of, like, oh, he's voted, like, 7% of the time. Like, they just don't even vote. It's like, well, what the hell are you doing?
Right.
Like, it's like they have something to hide.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
Well, I mean, they can stand behind, like, oh, well, I wasn't there when that vote was casted, you know, and so.
Sorry, I was golfing in the.
Yeah, but you can go online and look up the attendance records for all the people, and, you know, it's shockingly who doesn't show up.
Right, but that's the whole point of term limits, getting elected again. If I vote this, if I have to go 2 to 4 years from now, how's this going to affect me? I'm going to abstain from this vote.
Yeah.
That's the dangerous part of this whole process.
Yeah, it's sneaky and it's
conniving.
Dirty. Yeah, yeah.
Well, and the term limits is interesting because we always talk about, I'm for term limits for the most part, but Stephanie Scruggs, who's a good friend of the show and super politically active, was on Trump's campaign.
Genius.
She's super smart. And she made a good point to me. She made 5 good points to me. I remember one of them. but I'm just being honest. I've told you I'm not very smart.
No.
But you're not here for that. So I don't know why you're here, actually. For the 3 of you that are left, I'm going to make this one point. But she talked about how the term limit thing could backfire, too, because she was like, basically, these staffers who are in Capitol Hill, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them stick back, you know, and just stay there. Like, that's their job. I'm a staffer on Capitol Hill. I'm going to work for this person. Now, that person's out, which is not the case for most. You know, Pelosi's been there for, like, 246 years. So, like, that's consistent. But, like, generally speaking, you've got, you know, some people moving in and out. You've got these young freshmen who are there now with the 116th or 117th, whatever we're at. But she was like, those people are the ones who kind of help drive the thing, because most of these other folks don't actually know what they're talking about. So you can kick them out, the staff remains, and you still have them pushing these same initiatives that the lobbyists and everyone are pushing down their throat. So it was like, that's an interesting point.
All right, so that's a fair point, yeah. I didn't think about it that way.
I still think we should do it. I think that there's got to be some other details that get worked into it. But my mind was blown. I was like, That's a great, I never thought
of it. That's why she's Stephanie.
That's why she's Stephanie and we're not. So we had a tweet here, but we're going to skip it. What we're going to do now is we're going to take a break, and then if you're okay with it, Aaron, we're going to come back and do Craigslist misconnections.
Sure.
Let's do it. All right, we'll take a break. We'll see you on the other side. All right, welcome back, folks. So we're going to indoctrinate Aaron into something really strange here. And I apologize in advance. And for those of you who have not seen this next segment, I apologize to you too. Hopefully you like it and don't run away. But we periodically examine the dark alleys of society, such as those on Craigslist, and particularly those in missed connections who look to find love or perhaps their next kill. Either way, we all just enjoy reading through these, and we do it in a segment that we call Craigslist Misconnections. All right, let's get weird. Disco, what's that new sound on the intro there?
It's supposed to be the marker, like making the S and then
the S,
you did the classified section looking for a job,
yep.
You know, that's what, yeah.
That's so, what it is. Okay. Yeah. I'm easily confused. It confused me there. So today we got Great Falls, Montana, where Abigail is circa from.
Yep.
And then we've got New Orleans. So, you know, we know they do things a little differently down there. Not wrong, just different. So we're going to go through this. Let's start with this first one. Girl working at mall. This one out of Great Falls. Disco, cue the music. I was with my kids yesterday around noon at the play area at the mall. We made eye contact a couple of times. I were sweeping and going in and out of the back. I thought you were hot and I'd like to get to know you? If you remember me, what was I wearing? Okay, so...
With a capital W.
Yes. So I love... this is a basic one, okay? We're starting Aaron off pretty basic here. It's got the tenets of a Craigslist listing. It's got a weird person looking for romance, but just kind of being pretty, you know, blasé about it. Nothing too crazy or outlandish there, but you've got misspellings and bad grammar. I were sweeping. Not good. Not good. And then also the question mark. I'd like to get to know you.
Wait,
like,
He was watching kids? What was he doing? He was sweeping while watching kids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's weird. That's interesting. Interesting point. I didn't read the first time I looked at this. I was with my kids yesterday noon.
Sweeping.
And then I was sweeping in and out of the back. Those probably weren't your kids. So now we've got like an Amber Alert thing going on.
So he works at the mall. He's a mall worker.
So those are not, so this is a public service announcement for you, worker. The kids in the play area are not your kids.
Like
if you're a janitor there, they don't belong to you.
Maybe he was talking about like the mannequins in the store. Maybe he calls the mannequins his
kids.
Love
the movie Mannequin growing up. Such a good movie.
Yes.
I mean, good thing. I'm glad he's got a job. We talked about earlier.
At least.
But stop looking at kids.
Yeah.
Stop
exactly.
looking at kids.
Yeah. This girl's never going to respond to you. And these are not your kids.
We should call the cops on him.
Yeah,
there's
probably
a bigger
should.
Concern here now when the kids get mentioned.
See, great catch, Mike. Good catch. Detective Blakey, we shall call you.
This we next shall call you Detective Blakey.
We met, it would have been better when he had his mustache. Mike's mustache.
Yes.
That was a good
look. I'll throw a picture up for you folks.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic stash.
So it was a good stash. So this next one's titled, We Met on a Holy Roof. Disco, cue the music. And then again on your wedding day, as if we are resuming a story that's like pages in. Tuesday, you're in school and thinking about moving here. I could hope to bump into you again before you leave town, or I can just leave this here. You're invited to my house for breakfast. Susie. Please tell me something we talked about or something that happened when we were in contact. In your response, I'm not looking for an imposter.
That's like the end of every commercial. This may cause it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Holy Roof and
the wedding
got married.
Day.
Yeah.
So what I want to know is the person that they're looking for married to someone else? It says on
That's
your wedding
thinking.
Day, not our wedding day, not someone else's wedding day, your wedding
your
day.
Your wedding
met
day.
On
Very
a holy
specific.
Roof. So
yes.
It's the roof, the church on the
Did
same
they sneak
day of the
up
wedding?
Before?
Or something?
It's the circle. It's the circle of trust.
Or meeting for breakfast.
Or was it just a hole with a bunch of roofs on them?
I mean,
a roof.
Well,
a
guess that you,
I just flipped
you
that back.
Holy that way?
That's how you spell holy.
Yeah.
And he does say, or she does say, your wedding day, as Aaron is saying. You're in. The whole thing's frankly confusing to me. And she mentions she doesn't want an imposter. We talked about this off camera. You're going to get a lot of imposters. You're going to get like serial killers. Like anytime you put these things out there, you're just opening yourself up for like a really weird experience when you open your inbox.
But you're invited to breakfast.
But yeah, I mean,
you might get a good meal though. Some bacon.
Yeah, exactly.
Pancakes.
Something that you didn't get this morning.
Yeah, they didn't give me my bacon.
Thanks a lot, hotel. We sent all kinds of business your way. You came and have bacon for our guests.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. New America, you son of a bitch. Okay, this next one, weird. We're just going to get into it, but it's not exactly someone calling out to someone. It's from New Orleans. Shocker when you read
Surprising.
It. It's titled, Not Mardi Gras Anymore, But I Still Want to See Them! Exclamation point. Disco, cue the music. Just looking for some random boobs around town. You know, because that's all right. Just throwing it out there. Who doesn't like a nice pair? ? Feel free to send a pic, or if you want to show me in person, we can arrange that too. I'll even give you a free pearl necklace if you want. LOL. The first time I read that, I didn't pick up on that. That's the first sign that you shouldn't. The LOL. Anyways, happy after Mardi Gras.
And that is no laughing matter.
No, that's not. And you shouldn't respond to this.
No.
The first part, pretty normal Mardi Gras stuff. And then you see this part at the end. And really, just.
Well, it's Mardi Gras, though.
It's Mardi Gras.
It's weird any time.
Fair point. But the next step is a step too far. And you're not going to, the French Quarter to see this. You're soliciting.
I'm staying off of that last part of that
whole
thing.
This person's going to drive to your house, like, hey, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to come over and do that for you. No.
Well, yeah, the first sentence is just a regular frat guy. You know, just want to look
good. Why couldn't you just walk down the middle of Mardi Gras and here's a couple beads?
Yeah, exactly. That's how it works.
Just sit outside any of the bars in New Orleans.
Yeah.
You'll see all kinds of things.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to accomplish what you want to accomplish, but taking it to full-on serial killer mode is just a step too far.
Yeah.
Just a step too far for me. Okay, so we'll move on. Next one's titled Cute Girl at Port of Call on Saturday. I assume Sat is Saturday. Disco, cue the music. You were there with a bunch of your girlfriends on Saturday night, March 9th, to be specific. And we made eye contact a few times, and I thought I caught you flash a smile at me. I couldn't stop looking your way. You were super cute. You were wearing a pink dress and showing off your flexibility skills as your friends took pics of you. I was wearing a short-sleeved floral shirt, blue pants, and loafers with glasses. So clearly an accountant. Probably boring. Good with
the short-sleeved shirt?
The loafers, the glasses, the whole thing. Right. You know, if you just go boat shoes and
Hawaiian
whatever.
Shirt.
Yeah.
Reminds me
of
the valet from the King Kamehameha Club in Magnum P.I.
There you go.
Yeah.
By the way, service announcement too. Don't wear critter pants. This sounds like a guy who would wear critter pants. Critter pants is like when you've got like a critter or a sailboat woven into your clothing or apparel.
I thought the critters were the
patterns?
Hat.
Yeah. I don't like that on males. Do you like that on males?
I guess it depends on the outfit.
Okay.
Times have changed, Drew.
They have.
You're
old. I get it that I'm not inside.
Drew
I'm
is just not looking for a man
t-shirt.
With critter pants.
Yeah.
Now, what are the ones, what do they call the ones that are halfway on your calves? Stuff. Culottes?
Manpries?
What are the ones, manpries.
Cargo shorts?
No, they're like pants, but they stop at your calf.
Manpries.
I don't think I've witnessed a guy wear those, and
I don't
want
feel
to.
Comfortable just even talking about it.
I'm going to sport a pair tomorrow.
With your haircut, it wouldn't surprise me one bit. We lost Mike. I used to deploy with him. We used to do God's work. Now he's just, now he has a
over
beak.
The edge.
Yeah, he has.
And I've got a fake part in my hair.
A fake part. You know what, though? You look like you could be in like an 80s rap band.
There you go.
Which is a cool
it's
thing.
It's easier to cut
that
from your
cool.
hair now.
That is a good
it's
thing.
It's got the shelf.
I like it.
I'm a Backstreet
boy. I don't have hair, so I can't say anything. This one, I don't know if it's well-intentioned or really, really bad intention. It's titled Guy Getting Juice. Disco, cue the music.
Oh boy.
You were wearing all black, getting juice. Hit me up. You know who this is. Love Juice.
Is that an exclamation point?
At the
lots
end,
of exclamation
two, three.
Points.
I wonder if his
Real
name.
Excitement.
I wonder if his nickname is.
Maybe
Love
he.
Juice.
Maybe that's
Love
his
juice.
Name.
Yeah,
like
Love
in
juice.
Kicking and Screaming, Mike Ditka became the juice box guy.
Yeah.
It's his SoundCloud name.
There you go. I like that. It could totally. We're gonna have Aaron back.
Yes, we are.
Love Juice, good name.
Love Juice, good name. Could mean something different. You can figure that
Who
out.
Knows?
Maybe he just likes
Love
juice.
Jones.
Yeah, I mean exactly. Maybe he does. You know,
that's a movie. Wasn't it? Love Jones a movie?
I don't remember. I'm gonna say yes.
I'm not gonna pretend where I've got that.
Yeah. The nice thing is how committed you were to
Love
it.
Jones.
You were like Love Jones, and then you were like, Yeah, nailed it.
Or has it deployed way too long?
Yes. No, we've all got problems in our own right. Some just have more. So you fixed my tool. This one's not good. Not good. Disco, cue the music. You were able to keep my tool running long enough for it to run out of gas by siphoning it.
Okay.
Okay, and so I'm sorry to Aaron's folks and friends for having to endure this, but this is real stuff. We're not making this up. These are people out there. Someone wrote that, wearing sweatpants in their basement, eating like a bag of Cheetos.
Cheeto fingers.
Had stuff on their face, you know, some food there. Maybe they're putting lipstick on, like I joke about. Like, these are weird people. These are some weird folks.
Yes. And
would you date any of the six that were on here?
I wouldn't date anyone who's using Craigslist to find other people.
Amen.
No.
Yeah.
That's not the place to go.
Yes. So it's not the place to go. Wisdom from Aaron Adair, folks. Speaking of which, Aaron, thank you so much for being here today. It was great to have you.
Well, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
It's always an experience here, and it's great to have people like her. Mike gets shoved down to the end of the couch. But this was a good couch right here.
I like it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. This was a good.
Are we gonna have ZZ Top bring us out?
I wish that'd be great.
Yeah. that would be good. But no, seriously, big thanks to Aaron for being here. Also, thanks to you guys, the audience, for hanging with us. Be sure to check out Aaron's show, Always Right, on OLTV. It airs Wednesday nights at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Although, disclaimer, it is off next week. All of OLTV is off next week for a spring step down. We've got to rest every once in a while, folks. So, but you can watch past episodes. You can see all the future ones the following week. Great shows planned the rest of this week. We've got Buck Sexton, who will be here, Jay Hill, Hank Barb from Three Beards, Katie Thulin, tons more, so don't miss an episode. And remember, when it comes to your news and political commentary, experience matters. See you tomorrow.